We are the Morning Jam.
Well, somebody that checks in for politics for us on a state level and a national level is Dr. Bob Denton from Virginia Tech. Good morning. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you and all the listeners.
Hi.
So we were talking about Ted Cruz pounding the podium yesterday, talking about the hypocrisy of nobody ever calling out Biden when he's not wearing a mask. This thing's really getting a little crazy right now. You have Rand Paul again going after, you know, Dr. Fauci. It was like the triple threat now. This is the third time we've seen that. What's going on, Dr. Bob? It's just getting a little nutty.
Well, it's the continued polarization that we're seeing. We're seeing high stakes in terms of primarily the Democrats being a little desperate, quite frankly. And I'm not saying that from a partisan perspective, but obviously Biden's popularity is so low, he's trying to do something. There's great fear about, obviously, the November elections in terms of Democrats and voting rights, as they want to call it, seems to be a key issue that they're going to try to hang their hat on. And, of course, rally the troops. And if you look at the core constituency, the support among African Americans is soft. The Democrats need them as never before in terms of a unified vote. And so we're seeing, first of all, continuation of polarization, but second, we're already in the political season, and the Democrats are trying their best to figure out a formula to minimize some of the problems they're facing this coming November.
You know, they had a hard time rallying the troops yesterday. Janet just, you know, set this call up with talking about the fact that Joe Biden named all these people yesterday, and they're all Democrats from the racist past that they're all from, the Southern Democrats. The troops didn't want to be rallied. They didn't want to even give him a photo op yesterday because they're tired of him not doing anything for them. Is it all going to backfire maybe in November against not only Joe but the congressional seats?
Like it did in the Commonwealth?
Yeah.
Well, there certainly seems to be indications that may well be the case. I must say, I don't understand. I mean, clearly you can see the teleprompter, the two panels. Surely the speech writers have a better sense of history than what he was saying.
Do they?
I'm just dumbfounded.
I mean, if you had asked for a speech that would give you more ammunition, I don't know that you could get one.
And they're trying to say that he really went after it, had a great deal of emotion. I really think that the president's struggling and really pushing because he sees the poll numbers. And when you go beyond this, the numbers in terms of favorable, unfavorable, in terms of the confidence or what have you, it's certainly even worse and lower among independents and what we would call those swing voters. Now, this is an opportunity in terms of Republicans, both at the state level, do not push too hard or you know, don't overreach, as they say, and play it straight and stick to the particular issues. But I must say, I'm dumbfounded. I would think his staffing would be more protective, do a better job.
Yeah.
And he's just digging the hole. I don't know.
But of all the names to mention, George Wallace, I just couldn't believe it.
Well, I wonder how many millennials, and I'm not picking on millennials, even though I know in the past I have, but that name, what generational separation or divide or point would recognize that? I don't know. And so that's another peculiar, like you say, picking George Wallace of all the examples in the world, that was a very strange selection. Normally, you know who your audience is. Even though it's a national speech, you're always thinking, who and what's the message that I'm trying to reach, whether it's women, independents, African-Americans, just exactly targeting those message points. Normally, you would have 3 to 5, but really overall arching in terms of a theme, because you want that to be memorable in terms of the issue, and clearly it's voting rights, and voting rights.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, what's your message points? And I just don't know who put that together, or whether he had a free hand in writing a lot of it himself or putting it down. But
I can't imagine.
It was something I hadn't seen before.
Well, you talk about message points. Let's talk about that for the 22 election here. Let's talk about what can the Republicans do? I know you can run against Joe and his policies, but you also have to have that balance of, but this is what we're for. What's one or two talking points you think, or message points, that Republicans can use other than we're going to help hold back what the tide that Joe wants to bring us all, the red tide, as we used to see it every 10 years in Florida, and all the dead fish that come with it? What is that one or two good things that the Republicans can say, this is where we can move forward?
Well, this may not be too popular, but I really think I would take, to be honest, I'm kind of a Youngkin approach, if I may.
Mm-hmm.
I've been very impressed with that. That is, keep your focus in terms of the economy,
mm-hmm.
education, perhaps even then in terms of transportation, but really make it where it has impact, it is visible. It's about the economy. It is about public health, but education right now is driving the train.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also related to money in terms of spending. And, of course, the whole notion about the financial and spending and what have you. So I would make it economic and not about social issues per se,
mm-hmm.
and really keep it focused on local. And that's where Republicans, those who are running for Congress, are going to be the most successful. So at the national level, it'd be a 40,000-foot view in terms of the economy, absolutely in terms of education.
Mm-hmm.
Then each of the local level, be very specific in running locally. And I think that's the two-pronged strategy that I would approach in terms of the message points. Obviously, you would test those based upon your constituent groups.
Sure.
But the Democrats are going to do wedge. They're going to try to make it sure. as it is in terms of the contrast, good and bad, voting rights, some of the cultural issues.
Well, I think he's the gift that keeps on giving, Dr. Bob. It beats anything I've ever seen. We always appreciate your insight on these things. Look forward to talking to you again as we get closer to some of those big elections. And it's going to be interesting to continue to take the temperature of the Commonwealth and the country in the terms of Biden administration.
Absolutely. It's always a pleasure to be with you. And yes, I think Saturday is going to mark a real transition.
Yes.
I've been very impressed.
Pretty excited.
We've been popping the corks here in the studio all week.
Playing every celebration song we can get our hands on.
That's right. Okay. Thanks again, Dr. Bob Denton from the School of Communications, Director of the School of Communications at Virginia Tech. Always does a good job for us, Janet. It is 8:18. We'll be back. And we have another premiere of our song that we played in the first hour. It's More, More, More by Joe Biden.
Oh.
And I think you're going to enjoy it. I did. Janet didn't. It creeped Rita out in Alta Vista.
Yeah, a little bit.
But she came back because it's Ricky Van Shelton's birthday today from Grit, Virginia.
That's right.
So we got on her good grace side there. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we'll be back. We're glad you're here on Hump Day. It's the Morning Jam.
The Morning Jam with Janet Rose and Mark Lamb.